Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you for coming out. It's always a joy. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of God. So always be glad when you come into the house of God. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Okay, this morning, let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. In this season, we have been studying on prayer. And my Lord, if you just went home, we'll be blessed. She's preached a whole sermon already. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. My Lord and my God. Notice what he says. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. 16. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18. Let's all say it. Praying. Let's all say that word. Praying. Oh, say it louder. Praying. Praying. At all times in the Spirit, and with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. He talks about the fact that we wrestle, but we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against all these things. Then he says, take up the whole armor of God. God has made available to us his all armor in this race of life. And he says that, notice what he says. Notice several times he says, withstand, verse 13. And then having done all, to stand. And then again he says, stand. So keep standing your ground, because these powers that we are wrestling with will endeavor to defeat you. But having done all, keep standing. Keep standing. Thank you, Lord. And then he says, take on all these armor. Let's look at them. We can spend a whole month there, but briefly, let's look at them. He says, having fastened on the belt of truth. That means take on the belt of truth. That Jesus said that your word is truth. Sanctify your word. Your word is truth. The word of God is truth. So the thing that you notice is, after he talks about all this armor in verse 18, he says praying. So the goal of all the armor is for you to ask to enter into prayer. So he's saying that take on the belt of truth. Take on the word of God when you come to pray. And then he goes on to say, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When you come to pray, when you come into the presence of God, know that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And stand there boldly, unashamed, unafraid. Because the thing is, these powers will endeavor to remind you of your past and of all your shortcomings. But if you are conscious of the fact that you are standing in the righteousness of Jesus, take that on as a breastplate. Glory be to God. Let's keep reading. And he says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. Have a readiness about you to always share and minister the word of God. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Like this week, I ran into a man, and he said, he looked like he was in his mid-50s. And I started talking to him, and then I steered the conversation to get around church. And he says, I don't remember the last time I was in church, and my mouth just dropped open. He could see the surprise. What did you just say? And I talked to him, and you see people, and I said, has anyone taken the time to explain God's plan of salvation to you? And he said, yes. And I discovered right away that that's where the issue is. It's either people haven't heard or they've heard it and turned it down. You see, but I was ready to build on whatever somebody else had sown. And I tried to give the gospel to him in the simplest form. And I sowed the seed of God's word. But when I left, my heart was grieving. My heart was grieving. A whole life, just think about the plan of God for that individual. Just having gone all these years, and he's never even taken the first step, much more go into the fullness of what God had for him. So he said that have a readiness. But the key is, I was ready. And the more that we talk, I discover where the key issues were. And the thing is, have be ready to share the gospel. And then he says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take up that shield of faith. When you are prayed and stood on your ground, the enemy will throw those darts at you to tell you that your prayer has not been answered. Oh, but he says, put up your shield of faith. That is God's armor that we are talking about here. Take that shield of faith and extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one. Yes, yes. Thank you, Father. And take on the helmet of salvation. Know that you are secure. You are born again. You are in the kingdom of God. Put it on as a helmet of salvation. As a helmet. Don't let the enemy question the fact that you are saved. And then the offensive one, all these weapons that he talks about, the idea there is a Roman soldier dressing up. But all these weapons are defensive. And then the final one, that nails it in, he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Be aggressive with the word of God. Keep poking the enemy with that sword till he gives up. Which is the word of God. And also, and then he said that once you've done all this, then you are ready to. The preparation is very important. You are ready. Then he says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now you are ready to pray. The Greek literally said that pray being led by the Spirit. It could also include praying in the Spirit. But you pray this time being led by the Spirit. I mean, you and I don't know all saints. There's no way in our mental praying we can pray for all saints. But when we are led by the Spirit, then we can pray specifically for us as we are led by the Spirit and pray for specific issues and for the body of Christ as a whole. But this morning, let's key in on this phrase, praying at all times in the Spirit. When he says that, what does it mean? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. What does it mean? Praying in the Spirit. It says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not unto man, for no one understands him. Notice, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. He utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to other people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Notice that phrase, builds up himself. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. Now, verse 5 says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. But that phrase again is there, is right there. He utters, verse 2, he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Mysteries in the Spirit. Another translation says he speaks divine secrets to God. You are on a direct line to God when you are praying in the Spirit or praying in other tongues. And then verse 13 says that, therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret. For verse 14, notice, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. And then verse 18 says that I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 1 talks about the fact that, I mean, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but not have no love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So there is the tongues of men and there is the tongues of angels. But the key here is, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks divine secret in the spirit. He's speaking mysteries to God. You are on a direct line to heaven. He's speaking to God. You see, I mean, he says, I will pray with my understanding and I will pray in another tongue. You see, that means he's going to pray both ways. Praying is, with our understanding is praying mentally. And it's limited, I tell you. We are limited on that. It's limited. But when we pray in the spirit, we have a way to pray about things that in our natural mind we cannot even think about. It removes the selfishness out of prayer, because God Himself, the Amplified translates verse 14, that it says that if I pray in another tongue, my spirit, by the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, prays. The Holy Spirit is in your spirit and He's enabling you, giving you utterance to pray. And He provides a way for us to pray about things that we cannot, I mean, in the natural, pray about. And then he also says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue builds up himself. He that speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Builds up himself. You are building up yourself. Compare that with what he said in Jude, verse 20. It's only one chapter, just before the book of Revelation. Jude 1:20. Thank you, Lord. He builds up himself. Builds up himself. But you, beloved, building yourself. That's that phrase again. Building yourself up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. That's that expression again. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Build up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. You are building up on your faith. You see, praying won't give you faith. Faith comes by according to God's word, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But when you pray in the Spirit, you are building up yourself on your faith. Oh, glory. Glory be to the name of the Lord. That is the reason why sometimes there's failure in prayer, because the faith is there, but there is not enough power backing it. The idea there is, in the Greek, is charging up a battery, charging it up. So when you pray in the Spirit, you are building up yourself on your most holy faith. You are generating power. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit has been made available to help us in our prayer life. That's the sense. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Thank you, Father. We are looking at the phrase here that says, praying in the Spirit. What does it mean? Thank you, Lord. If the Apostle Paul says, I thank my God that I speak in tongues more than you all, then it must be important. And he says, I desire for all of you to do that as well. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now, let's thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to Acts chapter 2, where we see this introduced first. Acts chapter 2. We'll come back to Romans. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then verse 38 says, And Peter, right after that, the purpose of the Holy Ghost coming is so that they could be witnesses. Peter preached, and as part of his preaching, he said, verse 38, and Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the same gift that they received in verse 4. And for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. This promise is for everybody who is born again. That's the sense. That's the sense. That's the sense. Glory be to the name of the Lord. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you will speak like they did in the beginning. But let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, and see how the Holy Spirit helps us in our prayer life. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. What's the weakness? For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Notice, it didn't say we don't know what to pray for. We don't know what to pray for the way it should be prayed for. The way it should be prayed for. And verse 20 says that, and we know, verse 27 says, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. When the Holy Spirit is helping you pray in another tongue, you pray the perfect will of God. Thank you, Father. He helps us. He's not going to do your praying for you. But he's going to help you pray. And pray the perfect will of God. There was this missionary in Africa, and one day they went to. They were in a place where a child was in danger, had been captured by the king, and was going to be executed, and they went and negotiated for the child to be released, presented whatever the ransom that the king was asking for. And when they left, late in the night, they heard a strange sound. And so this missionary was with some people of the land and asked the missionary, what is this sound? And the people said, well, the king has realized that he's made a mistake. Now, he's realized that, I've given up the girl and I've taken the money and I can still also have the girl back, kill all of you and have the girl back. And that sound that you are hearing is a dead cry. That means we are all done. They are coming with their sharp swords to execute us. Well, the person said, well, let's pray and ask for God's mercies and protection and pray and commit our lives into the hands of God at this time. And this missionary said, well, after they prayed, he went out. And all he was expecting was that these people will rush on them and kill them. He thought they were done. But so he closed his eyes, and after a while, and those few seconds, it didn't last a long time, but when you are in a moment like that, it can feel like eternity, you know, understand what I'm saying? It can feel like a long time. And when he opened his eyes, the people were now, all he saw was the people were bowing down to him. And then he asked the people around him, what are they doing? Well, and the people said, we saw two giant beings standing on your side, and we think that you are a god. That is why we are bowing down to you. But the interesting thing here is, back here in the States, somebody, and later on they compared notes, had a burden to pray, and this person didn't know what it was. And so she started praying and crying unto God. And sometimes we get that leading as well to pray. You don't know what you are praying for, but you have a burden and a leading to pray. She prayed until she had that note of victory that it was done. And she said, just before I finished, your face flashed before me. So later on, when they met, he said, at this such and such a time, what happened to you? And this missionary related the story. And when they compared the time zone, it was exactly the same time. So, I mean, the Holy Spirit was looking for someone to cooperate with him in prayer. And this person was available. But what if they hadn't prayed? He says he helped us. He helps us. He doesn't do the prayer. I mean, he needs somebody to cooperate with in the earth to pray the will of God. He helps you. Pray. That Greek word there for helps, it's a very long one. I'm not a Greek scholar. I don't know how to pronounce it. But the idea is, let's say we have this piano, and I say, come and help me move this piano. I cannot move it myself. Help me move it. He's going to help you. He's not going to do it in isolation. The weakness is we don't know what to pray for as we are. But by the help of the Holy Spirit, we can know, we can yield to him and pray the will of God. And in our own individual lives as well, it comes in very handy. So many times it's come in handy for me. One day I had two job offers. Very, very good offers. On the surface, it all looks good. But what am I to do? I don't know the will of God here. I need to know what God's will for my life is. This was a couple of years ago. And so I started. I just went into my closet and began to pray. I said, Holy Spirit, help me pray the perfect will of God and know your will in this situation. I stayed there. I prayed, and I still wasn't satisfied. I went out for a walk, and the whole time, and over a period of time, I was crying out to God. God, show me the way to go. And after a while, I had peace on a particular one, and so I went. And then a couple of months after, I found out that the other option, which was available, which I didn't take, they did a mass layoff of people. And if I had been there, I would have been impacted. So I didn't know that was coming. But by praying, by the Holy Spirit helping me in prayer, I was able to know which choices to make. It's so important. Life is full of choices. The choices that we make determine our destiny. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. When I was ready to get married, I cried to God. I said, God, show me the right person. A marriage is not like, clothes that I can get in and take the clothes off. God, let me not miss it. I spent time praying to know the will of God. And thank God I made the right choice. And it's been a blessing. We have a blessed life and a blessed marriage. I think when Adam blamed God in the beginning, for the wife that God had given him. After that, God said, a man who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You go and find it. I'll help you. But you find it. So when you find it, you come and blame me. But the key here is the Holy Spirit helps us pray the will of God. According to the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It's available for all of us. Now, another thing that is available to us is our angels. Angels are available to us when we pray. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 6. Thank you, Father. Daniel chapter 6. And verse 21. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I'm excited about the point coming up. glory. Verse 20 says, as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sends his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Notice the phrase, he sends his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king, I have done no harm. that the decree had been made that nobody should pray in the land for 30 days. But Daniel defied it and he was thrown into the lion's den. But God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they did not harm him. Angelic assistance is made available to us when we pray. And think about it as well in Acts chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. We see another example there. Thank you, Father. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. Verse 6. Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Dress yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them of its own accord. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel left him. What if the church hadn't prayed? They had already killed James. They are proceeding to take Peter. They woke up. Enough is enough. The earnest and continued prayer was made to God. And God sent his angel. God sent his angel. And the thing is, verse 10, when they got to the gate opened of their own accord. The gate opened of their own accord. Think about it. When we go to a grocery store, some time of the stores, when you get in front of it, when you get within a certain perimeter, the gates open. The church was in a place of prayer. When we don't pray, so to speak, we remain in captivity. They might have beheaded Peter and killed him. But they woke up. An angel was released in response to their prayer to deliver Peter out of that prison. Thank you, Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Angelic assistance is still available to us when we pray. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at it. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, "And to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet, for your feet.'" So the context there is angels. And verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation?" Verse chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it." You see, this is a letter that is being written. It wasn't written in chapters and verses. You don't write a letter to your aunt and say chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. But he's saying that. So when he gets to chapter 2, verse 1, he's continuing the same thought regarding angels that he was talking about in 13 and 14. He says, "Pay much closer attention to what you have heard, lest we drift away from it." And verse 14 says that all these angels are sent to minister for us who are heirs of salvation. They are sent to serve us. When we go to a restaurant, a waiter shows up. That's the thought. He comes in and says, "Put in your order. Put what do you want? They are waiting on you. They are serving you. These angels are here to serve us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. They are here to serve us. They are here to serve us. Psalm 34, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And when we pray, we put them to work. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord and comes around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord encamp around those who fear him. And then Psalm 103, verse 20. Thank you, Father. Oh, my Lord. This excites me. Psalm 103, verse 20. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. He says, bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, you his angels. They obey the voice of his word. So when we pray and take God's word to him, in response, God releases the angels to come and help us and to deliver us. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. They are here waiting on you for you to pray for them to be released. Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. Oh, it says, and comes around those who fear him. They are here to serve you, but they respond to the word of God. They respond to your prayers. It says, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. These little ones, their angels are before the face of the Father. But you don't lose your angel because you've grown up. They are here to serve you. They are here to serve you. So many times they are standing around waiting. When will this person wake up and pray and put me to work? Thank you, Father. But we see that, I mean, think about it in Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Let us see something there as well. It's so important. He says, do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? The King James said, do you think I cannot pray to my Father? I can activate the release of angels through prayer. But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? I choose not to exercise my right, but the key here is it was available to him in prayer. 12 legions of angels. That's a lot. A lot of angels. they tell us that the minimum for legion is about 6,000. So multiply 6,000 by 12. We are talking about potentially a minimum of 72,000 angels. He says I can make them available in prayer. But he chose not to exercise it. Oh my God, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Makes an important point there. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Thank you, Lord. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, Jesus chose not to exercise that right. And so he was oppressed. He was afflicted. He opened not his mouth. That tells me that a closed mouth in prayer equates to oppressing and continued affliction by the enemy. Thank you, Father. When we are not praying and have a closed mouth, we remain in captivity. We remain in oppression. We remain in affliction. Oh, but the day that we wake up like the church did and say enough is enough. This captivity must come to an end. This oppression must come to an end. I refuse to be oppressed by the enemy. I am going to open my mouth and activate the power that is available to me in prayer. Oh, glory. You receive heavenly assistance. But till then, the enemy is having a field day. He was oppressed and afflicted because he opened not his mouth. The Peter would have remained in captivity and would have been killed if the church had closed their mouth. We remain in captivity when we keep a closed mouth and don't pray. All these angels are available to us. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus in this season, as you endeavor to open your mouth and as we endeavor corporately to open our mouth and cry to God, every form of affliction, every form of captivity in your health, in your finances, in your family, in every area of your life, may it come to an end in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He opened not his mouth. So he was oppressed and afflicted. May we open our mouth in this season. Kabadosapaha. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. In Genesis 28, 12, Jacob got to a place. He saw angels ascending and descending. When we pray, our angels are active, 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 working on our behalf. Thank you, Father. And we can serve God. You can serve God. We can serve God through our prayers, through our fasting. So many times we can serve God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 26, loving God and serving Him. Verse 28, after he talks about the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer, notice he says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. But that line follows the lines where he's talking about the Holy Spirit helping us in prayer. And when we pray, we get access to inside information. A typical person is Anna in Luke chapter 2, verse 36. We got access to inside information. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory, glory, glory. I want to stir all of us in this season to pray and fast and seek His face. Amen. For some things to turn around. He says, Luke 2, 36, and there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of Him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The King James says she served God with fasting and prayer. With fasting and prayer. With fasting and prayer. Instead, she had inside information when Jesus Christ was born. But the key is she loved God and she was serving Him with fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Colossians chapter 4. Verse 12, there's another gentleman there that I love so much. Thank you, Lord. Colossians chapter 4, we can serve God and make a difference. Thank you, Lord, with our prayers. Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers. The King James says, laboring fervently in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. To him he's made a career of praying and laboring fervently, that people will be mature. These people will be mature and stand fully assured. He was serving God through his prayers. Serving God through his prayers. Laboring fervently. And Proverbs says that in all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit. In all labor there is profit. So there is the place where we labor in prayer. But when we labor in prayer, there is profit. There is profit in laboring in prayer on behalf of others as well. And for the issues in our life that we need to be turned around. If now the enemy takes advantage of us, he has a field day. I mean, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David got to the battleground, and Goliath had been standing there and crying out for 40 days and 40 nights. Think about it. Bring somebody. You are daring them. Bring somebody. Who is your God? Who is your God? Bring somebody to fight us. And they were just standing there and not just very passive about it. Not taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and going on the offensive. Very passive. David got there and said, what's all this noise? What, this captivity must end. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is defying the armies of the living God? Let me take him on. I know my God will bring him down. But up to that point, everyone was afraid. Everyone was just afraid. Goliath was detecting the terms. For all this time, if we allow the enemy to call the shots, and we cannot be successful that way. But we get to that point where we say, enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. This captivity, what this situation, whatever the issue might be, must come to an end. Must come to an end. Must come to an end. And stay in that place of prayer and receive answers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You see, it provides a way for us to be prepared for the future. To be prepared for the future. We need strength not just for the circumstances that we face today, but we need strength for the future. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm getting ready to finish. Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 5. Notice what he says. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. It says, if you have raced with men on foot and they have wearied you, how would you compete with horses? And if in a safe land you are so trusting, what would you do in the thicket of Jordan? If just racing with men is wearing you out, what would you do when it comes to horses? Well, I mean, that comparing it to prayer, if you are weary now, and not praying, then what would you do in the evil day, like we saw in Ephesians? Having done all, you must have the strength to stand. Have the strength to stand. What would you do? What would you do? What would you do? Remember, at some point, Elijah overran the chariot by the Spirit of God. He overran the chariots of Ahab. Thank you, Lord. And he's saying that the thought here is that Jordan, when it's peaceful, at some point in the year, is going to overflow. So when it's peaceful like this and you cannot swim over, what will you do when it overflows? Building up yourself on your most holy faith. Your battery is charged up, not just for today, but you keep and maintain a lifestyle of prayer. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And in the same Jeremiah chapter 11 verse 9, he says, but I was like a gentle lamb led to the slaughter. I did not know it was against me. They devised schemes saying, let us destroy the tree with its fruit. This scripture is important. Let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name be remembered no more. Jeremiah was prophesying in the land, and some of it even had to do with the coming of Jesus. And these enemies were devising to kill him and do away with him. God works and starts with the seed. These people want to start with the fruit and eventually get to the tree and cut it all down.
The enemy, when he starts to steal and kill and destroy, he starts with your fruit. It may be your children. It may be your marriage. It may be your job, your finances, whatever. He starts with the fruit. And eventually, if you don't stop him, he's going to cut everything. It's after your life. Oh, but thanks be to God, you can get to that point and say, no, 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 I'm going to stop you in your track. I refuse to be afflicted. I refuse to be oppressed. I refuse to stay in captivity. Thank you, Father. Are you ready to open your mouth this morning and to pray? I'm not sure. I don't know what you are confronted with. But God has made enough power available to us in prayer. Let's rise to our feet. Thank you, Lord. Let's spend some time praying this morning. Thank you, Father. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. May be your health, any area of your life. Prayer can change and turn things around. And turn things around. Lift up your voice this morning to God. Cry out to God. He was oppressed and afflicted because he opened not his mouth. Open your mouth this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, and cry out to God. And cry out to God. Rapatoshaha. Lift up your voice and cry out to God. Lift up your voice and cry out to God. No matter the circumstance of life, no matter the situation that you may be in, oh, God can turn it around. Be aggressive this morning. Don't let the enemy detect the turn. You detect the times in prayer today. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Father. Kabarabasotea. Yes, Lord. 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 In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, glory. Lift up your voice to God. Lift up your voice to God. Lift up your voice to God. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. The plan of God for your life must come to pass. Oh, the plan of God for your life must come to pass. The plan of God must come to pass. The plan of God must come to pass. Praying for the now and for the future as well. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, for your children, for your family. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus was praying and the heavens opened in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Abba Soteya, let us be under an open heaven. Thank you, Father. Oh, deliverance. Oh, from sickness. Deliverance, deliverance from lack, deliverance, deliverance. We speak freedom this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for turning our captivity around. Thank you, Lord. He says, as Isaiah, as long as he sought the law, God made him to prosper. The moment he stopped seeking God, he started going down. Receive grace this morning to continue seeking God. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And if you are watching or listening online and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your life is full of one form of oppression and affliction to another, and ups and downs, God wants to help you this morning. Oh, he's here. He sent Jesus Christ for that purpose, to destroy the works of the enemy. This morning you can receive freedom from the works of the enemy. Oh, if you are willing to begin a fresh relationship, to begin a relationship with the Lord Jesus, just say, Lord Jesus, I've heard your word. Today, I believe that you are raised from the dead. I confess you as my Lord, and also I receive my supernatural prayer language. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me my spiritual prayer language. Oh, and begin to praise him and speak in other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you utterance. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, serve him for the rest of your life. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's all say this together this morning. Lord, thank you for the privilege and the power of prayer. Lord, teach us, continue to teach us to pray effectively in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. You have made us free, and we stand in the freedom and the liberty that you have given us. We refuse to be entangled with any yoke of bondage in Jesus' mighty name. Give him praise and glory this morning. 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 Oh, give him praise and glory this morning. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Pastors, thank you, Father. Let's raise our hands together again, please. May God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine on you and give you his peace, his shalom. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And this week, may he fill your mouth with his testimony. If that's you, say a big, big amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.